Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, the second time, he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and testing and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'"
Good morning. I want to thank the elders here at the Ninth of Man congregation for allowing me to speak here this morning. It truly is a blessing to be able to worship with brethren in the Lord's church. Alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, the things Jesus began to do and to teach. What we must state before we go any further is everything that Jesus did, there was always a teaching moment. Everything that Jesus did, we can gain something from it. Now, last night we had dinner with Brother Mike and Sister Evelyn, and I told Mike with this topic, "You're trying to get me to cry while I preach." Alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, studying this text will truly break your heart, seeing the things that Jesus the Christ had to go through for the sins of me and you. But also, the teaching moment, understanding, as we talked about this morning in class, the love that God had for the souls of mankind, to allow His only begotten Son to go through that pain. I appreciate the text that was just read this morning. From that text is where we will spend our time, and we will have three quick points concerning this text. Point number one will be the pain of Jesus. The pain of Jesus. Point number two will be the prayer of Jesus. And point number three will be the purpose of Jesus. Now, as Brother Mike stated a moment ago, I am attending the Texas School of Preaching in my second year, and we're always told to, when you're preaching before the congregation, always tell them that the points will be quick so you will keep their attention. We'll have three quick points this morning concerning Jesus. Point number one, the pain of Jesus. If you would pick up in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36, the pain of Jesus. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." From the very onset, we can see the humanity of Jesus Christ. We can see the humanity of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one who would save sins from all of mankind, was truly sorrowful. His mind, his mental mind, he was going through it, as we might say today. Now, I want you to think about the hardest thing you've had to go through in this life. Just, I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson. Think about something that really broke you down. Satan seemed to be on full attack. You did not know where to go. You did not know what to do. You were truly just saddened every day. I want you to think about that. Now, when Brother Mike texted me this topic, my mind immediately went to when I was a junior in high school. Not too long ago. I'm only 20. A junior in high school, I was hanging out with one of my closest friends in high school at the time on a Saturday. The very next Sunday, I was in worship. My phone was blowing up. I wasn't answering because I was in worship, and it just kept on ringing. So I walked out, and I got a phone call, and one of my closest friends who I was hanging out with just the day before, I got a phone call and said he had just passed away in a car accident. I can't even describe the pain that I was feeling in that time. I truly did not know what to feel. I didn't know what to say. And as we will see a little on, the only answer we have is to go to the Father. Go to God. Now, I don't tell that story to sadden the mood. I want you to think about through this lesson the hardest times you've had to go through. And this is exactly what Jesus is going through. I say that because we can see the humanity of Jesus. We can see the human side of Jesus. A lot of times we think of Jesus the Christ as God the Son. You know, He was the perfect being. He died for my sins, and then we move on. Brothers and sisters, this morning we have to pause and consider the human side of Jesus. He was born just like we were. He lived among man just like we do. Hebrews 4:15, I make the point a lot because we read this verse and then just skip over it. Brothers and sisters, think about it deeply. Jesus Christ was in all points as we are tempted, yet without sin. Everything that you and I go through, every heartache we feel, every sin that the devil tries to throw at us, Jesus Christ went through it all and yet still remained sinless. The love Jesus Christ had for the souls of mankind. Jesus was the perfect being. But we must make the point, if Jesus Christ, the perfect man of God, if Jesus Christ can feel the pain and the anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, if He can feel that pain and anguish, what does that say about me and you? We will definitely feel pain and anguish. But we must know, and if we don't know, we must learn where to go to. Where do we go to when we feel this pain and anguish? Now, the word exceedingly sorrowful carries the idea of deeply grieved. Brothers and sisters, this morning, that was Jesus. Jesus Christ was deeply grieved. Now, studying this text, I appreciate so many things about it because I've never really stopped and considered the mental state that Jesus was in. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with His Father, we must consider the humanity of Jesus. But also, I want to make it very clear, so many times we forget the human side of Jesus and we just skip straight to the cross. We just go straight to the cross and talk about the things that Jesus did on the cross, which is amazing. We should obviously speak of those things, but don't skip there too fast. We cannot forget the points leading up to the death of Jesus Christ. The things in Jesus' human body that He had to go through before the horrible act of the cross. The mental state that He was in. We cannot take that for granted. We cannot underestimate the text and the things that Jesus went through. He simply, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was simply hurting. In His mind, He was deeply grieved. He was sad, pleading with His Father. The pain of Jesus led to the prayer of Jesus. Point number two. The pain of Jesus led to the prayer of Jesus. If you would pick up in verse number 39 of Matthew 26. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse number 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and He left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. The pain of Jesus led to the prayer of Jesus. In so much pain and so much anguish and so much heartbreak, where did Jesus go? Jesus simply went to His Father. Jesus went to God the Father. Now we must always make application for ourselves today when studying anything. What does this mean for us today? When life seems to be beating us down, as I mentioned a moment ago, when Satan is on full attack, where do we go? brothers and sisters, we simply go to the Father. We have too many members of the church and too many people in the outside world thinking that they can turn to alcohol and get the answer. We have too many brothers and sisters in Christ, people of the outside world also, who think that they can go to drugs and get the right answer. We have too many men in the Lord's church who are deeply saddened, thinking that they can go to pornography to get the answer. Now you say, Bryson, why do you say that? If you look up, it is so sad. Look up the statistics of pornography. Not only of our young people. Now, me and my brother talk about this all the time because we talk to a lot of people our age who struggle with this. And we do studies all the time on it to see the statistics. Something like 75% of boys who view this website first see it when they're in first grade. Just think about that. The things that are coming into our little kid's mind is that of pornography instead of Jesus loves me. We have too many men thinking they can turn to this website and try to get the answer when they are deeply saddened. Brothers and sisters, the answer is not alcohol. It's not drugs. It's not pornography. The answer is not cheating on my spouse. The answer is not turning to money. The answer is not running to mom or dad. The answer is not turning to the world. Brothers and sisters, the answer is Jesus or God the Father. When we are deeply saddened, when life is beating us down, we ought to go nowhere but God the Father. There are so many people who are struggling, and they're going to the sinful world to try to get advice. There are some members of the church who are struggling with very heavy things on their mind, and they're turning to the world to try to get answers. Thinking logically here, what does the world have to offer for something that is spiritual? What does the world have to offer for us who are spiritual? They think carnally. They are of the world. They are of the devil, John 8:44. What can the devil help me with pertaining spiritual things? Nothing. The devil, all he tries to do, Satan, all he tries to do is tear us down. When our mind is not right, when we're struggling with certain things, go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely. But brothers and sisters, this morning, turn to God the Father. He has the answers. Everything you need pertaining to life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. Go to God the Father. You know, it's very sad. As I stated a moment ago, I make the joke all the time. I'm only 20 years old. So when I tell people as I'm growing up, they just laugh at me. But I will say this, as I'm growing up and getting more mature in the scriptures and preaching at different congregations and seeing how many congregations behave, there are just some people who could care less on the condition of their soul. There are people who could simply care less on the condition of their soul. Why can I make such a claim? Because we can see their fruits. We can see the way they live. I'm not just saying this because he's here this morning, but Brother Mike was preaching one time. I think I was like 9 years old, and he said this, and he still says it today. And I'll never forget it. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. It doesn't matter what they tell you. If I tell you I'm faithful, if I tell you I'm a faithful preacher, but you see me Monday through Saturday living completely for Satan, that ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something. People could simply care less on the condition of their soul. We're tying all this back to the Garden of Gethsemane, so don't worry. We just have to make application for us today so we know what it means. The things that Jesus went through to know what it means. If we are being beaten down by life, once again, go to God. You know, talking with various people, some even atheists, hearing people talk so evil of God. For one, I am terrified for them on the day of judgment. But also for those who know to do right and simply just aren't doing it, I'm also terrified for them. Because we know just because we are members of the Lord's church does not give us a free pass to live how we want and still think we can be with God. You know, speaking of Jesus in the garden, Jesus also said, now when I talk about these things, I love finding passages where Jesus said them. Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Brothers and sisters, this morning, that includes members of the church. There are members of the church. I can make this claim because I've talked to them. Some of them are very close to me. There are members of the church who simply could care less on the condition of their soul. They got baptized, I was fine. Now I can live however I want. We know that's a whole other lesson. We know that's not the case. People have a false view on God. But reading this text, studying this text in Matthew chapter 26, we know that God also has feelings. I dare someone to try to get behind the pulpit and say God does not care about his people. I dare someone try and get behind the pulpit and say that God, the Father, was not hurting when Jesus Christ was going through these things. We have this false reality, this false view on God. God hurts when we hurt. How do I know this? Because 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 tells me it is not the Lord's will that any should perish. It is not God's will that we end up in eternal hellfire with Satan for all eternity. That's not his will. That's not his desire. But a lot of people of the outside world, they view God as just some spiritual being who is just sitting up there with his arms crossed, just waiting to kill someone who does wrong. How many times do people ask us the question, how can you serve a God who lets this happen? How can you serve a God that lets this happen? Well, they just don't know who God is. It's that simple. They simply do not know who God is. There is no excuse for us this morning. The things that Jesus went through, now we can skip to the cross. The things that he went through on the cross. You know, you read Psalm 22, that'll break your heart. It'll break your heart. Psalm 22, Jesus, God the Son, is pleading for help. Psalm 22, you study the sayings of Christ while he was on the cross. We simply have no excuse. You know, my mind, and we're about to get back to the text, don't worry. My mind goes to Romans chapter 2. You know, in Romans chapter 1, Paul is speaking to the Gentiles and telling them what they must do to be saved. But right in chapter 2, he immediately goes at the Jews. And he goes at the Jews because they were trying to teach and bind things that they themselves weren't even doing. Paul tells them in verse 1, "Thou art excusable, O man." And then a little further, he says, "You guys, the reason you have no excuse is because you have the law. You have the law, and yet the Gentiles who don't have the law are living better than you." Now, to make application for us today, you know, there are some people in the outside world who live better than some members of the church. That ought to break our heart. Now, we all must ask the question, I must ask myself, how am I living this morning? How do I view Christ? How is your attitude when you worship? Is it the case that I can watch a 4-hour Super Bowl game on Sunday, but when I'm at worship, I complain that I'm here for an hour and a half? How is our attitude? We saw Jesus' attitude. We are seeing Jesus' attitude in this study together this morning. Jesus is simply pleading to the Father, if there is any other way, let that happen. Do we have the mind of Jesus Christ? You know, it's funny, but it's not at the same time. Jesus is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, the text tells us. He tells Peter and the others, sit here while I go and pray. He comes back, and what are they doing? They're asleep. They had no earthly idea of the gravity of the situation. Here Jesus is pouring his heart out to the Father, begging him, if there is any other way, Lord, or God, please. Please, if there is any other way, take that route, if you will. He comes back. They're asleep. They have no earthly idea what is happening. They have no earthly idea the things that Jesus is going through. They have no earthly idea that Judas is about to show up and betray Jesus. Keep in mind, Jesus knows all this is about to happen. One of the fascinating things about Jesus is he knew all this was going to happen and still remained sinless and still went on with the plan. He always pleased his Father. Jesus knows all this is about to happen. The disciples don't. What does this say about us today? Many times there are times where we have to get to work. We need to get to work. We need to do the will of the Father. But we're found sleeping. You know, me and Mike and my parents were talking about this last night at dinner. We were talking about Joshua chapter 7. And the sin of Achan and hiding it under his tent. You know, Joshua was so confused because they had just defeated Big Jericho. They go in thinking it's about to be a cakewalk with Ai. And as my dad says, they get blasted. Joshua goes to God and asking God, what happened? Why did you allow this to happen? What were your enemies think when they find out we were just defeated by Ai? What does God tell Joshua? God tells Joshua to get up. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there are times where we simply just need to get up and get to work. Get up and get to work. Because what happened? Joshua got up and got to work, and what happened? Well, what happened is what God said would happen if they obeyed him. There are simply times where we just need to stop crying, stop being a baby, and get up and go to work. Now, I know you know this, but our soul is dependent on it. Once again, the older I get, the more I realize the deep desire, the deep need for sound gospel preaching for the people, but also just in everyday life, the need for sound Christian living. It is truly saddening to know people that we don't even know, we've never met, we've never heard of, who are dying daily, who will spend an eternity in a hellfire. That should break our heart. But what breaks my heart is when I have family members. Family members who are choosing not to do the way of the Lord, not to live righteously. Family members who are choosing the broad way, Matthew chapter 7. It breaks my heart because we are talking about eternity here. Eternity in a hellfire is something that we can't even comprehend, but yet it seems like people want to go there. It seems like people are trying to go there. Well, we know they just don't understand the gravity of the situation. The mind of Jesus, the things that he was going through. You know, this is exactly what Satan wants to happen to us today. My mind goes to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Satan is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, I encourage you on your own personal studies, look up that word devour. Look up the word devour and then make application. Satan is not our friend. Satan does not want your best interests. Satan hates the truth. Satan hates you, and he wants you in hell with him for all of eternity. Now, if we were at a zoo, I don't like going to zoos, but if we were at a zoo, and one of the lions got out of the cage, what would we do? Now, I hope you would run. Whoever was beside me, unless it was my wife, whoever was beside me, you better outrun me because I'm going to outrun you. We would run because our life depended on it. But when it comes to spiritual things and there is a lion out of the cage trying to attack us, we try to go pet him. Satan is not our friend. He doesn't want our best interest. He wants us in hellfire. Once again, all going back to the mindset of Christ, the things he was struggling with alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. We've seen the pain of Jesus. We've seen that when he was in pain, he went to the Father, the prayer of Jesus. But third and finally, we must see the purpose of Jesus. Why did Jesus do this? You know, if more people, and this is our fault as members of the church, we have to get better at teaching the gospel. We have to get better at teaching the things of Christ. But if people simply understood, and we can never fully grasp it, but if people simply understood what Jesus did for them, we would have a lot more souls coming to God. But it's the fact that people don't appreciate, as we talked about this morning in class, I love the class this morning on thankfulness. Since we don't appreciate the things that Jesus did, that is why we choose to go against him time and time and time, over and over again. Talking about the mindset of Jesus, I just want to take one point from him actually on the cross. We've already stated that Jesus knew what everything was going to happen. But as he's on the cross, as they're nailing him to the cross, as they're spitting in his face, as they're mocking him, you claim to be the Son of God, why can't you just save yourself? He simply says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The human mind simply cannot grasp the love of God. Spitting in my face, nailing me to a cross, mocking me, and Jesus simply says, Father, forgive them. You could spend an entire lifetime speaking on the love of God, but the mindset of Jesus Christ alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, the purpose of Jesus. If you would read with me Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 45. Matthew 26, verse number 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, verse 46, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Jesus knew and understood the time, and he knew what it meant. We've already stated he knew what was going to happen. All the things leading up to now and all the things leading up to the cross, Jesus knew what was going to happen. The plan that God had set forth from before the foundation of the world was about to take place. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but this is a beautiful study. It becomes very sad, but also is very beautiful knowing that the plan that God had set up is about to take place, and Jesus knew that. He's pleading with the Father if there's any other way, but he also knows there's not another way. Jesus knew it was his time, and Jesus knew what he needed to do. Why? Simply because the love he had for the souls of mankind. I want to ask us a question as we begin to close this morning. Do we this morning have the love for souls as we ought to? You know, it's a simple illustration. And once again, I'm not saying it just because he's here, but there is not a man in the world that I would put above Dietrich Watts. There's not a man in the world that I would put above my dad. Growing up, always faithful to my mom, always working to provide for his kids, for his wife, always being there for his family, always staying faithful to God. We've had some ups and downs, but there's not a man in the world that I would put above my dad, and I wish everyone in here could know my dad the way that I know my dad. I will tell any and every one of you this morning about my dad because I just simply love him that much. Now, much more importantly, do we view the gospel that way? Do we view the gospel as, I just love it so much, I just want to tell the entire world. I love it so much, I just want to tell you what you need to do to be saved. Do we simply love the souls of man as we ought to? We know Jesus did. It truly angers me when I hear someone say that God doesn't love me. God doesn't love his people, because why is this happening? People simply just don't understand God's love, Jesus' love that he had. You know, being in such a wicked world today, we always have to be on guard. Make sure we're always doing right. Because the very second we think we have it all figured out is when Satan is jumping up and down. The second we think that that'll never happen to me, I'm too strong for that, is the second Satan is jumping up and down. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. My mind goes to the book of Isaiah, the very first chapter. And the children there are being described as a people laden with iniquity. They were full to the brim with sin. Full to the brim. Later on, it talks about they were pulling ropes and carrying carts, carrying the idea of how sinful these people were. In fact, they had gotten so wicked, God told them, stop bringing your vain worship to me. I hate it. God hated their worship. For us today, this morning, when we worship God, does God love or hate our worship? Many times we think we can live however we want to in the world and be here on Sunday and everything's fine. But if I'm not mistaken, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other. You get into the Greek there a little bit, it literally means man is incapable of serving two masters. It's one or the other. And I know we know which answer we ought to go with, and that is Jesus Christ. The mindset of Jesus alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew the purpose, but finally this morning, we are blessed to know the purpose. We ought to be letting everyone know the purpose that is set before us. God has provided a way for all of humanity, every single soul, God has provided a way for them to be saved. It is our job as faithful Christians in the Lord's church to live right ourselves, but also to go out and love, to spread the word of God. There are many people living with no hope. We're living for something. We are living our goal, and if it's not our goal, it better get our goal right now. Our goal is to be with Jesus Christ and God for all of eternity. That is our goal. That is why we are living. That is why we are suffering. That is why we are not turning to the world for the answers. We are simply living for something better than what the world has to offer. And the world is living without any hope. No hope. And it is our job to get them into the hope. It's our job. You know, I was telling my family the other day, being in preaching school, we're studying world religions. And we just had a very in-depth study on the idea of Islam. I told my parents, I was like, it's kind of scary. After I studied that, it's kind of scary. Knowing what they're doing to the Lord's people. Knowing how many of them there are. And they're closer than we think they are. But what will we do about it? Will we cower down and bow down to their false god? Or will we stand true no matter what happens and fight the good fight of faith to hear, to have the expectation, that hope, that blessed eternal hope, to hear the words of the man who was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those are the best words we could ever hear. Imagine ourselves standing before Christ, and Jesus Christ says, well done. What will you do this morning? All the turmoil that Jesus went through, the things that was in his mind, he did it all for us. He knew the plan, he knew the purpose, and he knew the why. It was for the souls of mankind. We have the chance right now, to get it right. And if we are, I plead with you, I encourage with you to stay right, because there is no other way. But in order to stay right, we must have the mindset of Isaiah. When God says, whom shall I send? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Now, sometimes we can have the mindset of, here am I, send somebody else. Here am I, but I don't want to do that. Here am I, but that's out of my comfort zone. Here am I, but I don't want to stop hanging out with those people. Here am I, but I don't want to quit this job. We need to have the mindset of, here am I, God, I'm faithful, send me. The mindset of Jesus Christ alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Such a powerful text. Such an in-depth study that we could spend a lifetime going over. But the simple question we must ask ourselves this morning, how is your mindset? Are you doing whatever it takes to please the Father? Are you doing whatever it takes to be there for your brethren? Are you doing whatever it takes to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's body. Sadly, I say this with all love, but you are living with no hope. But once again, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, it is not the Lord's will that any should perish, but he is long-suffering. You can get that right this morning. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me, even some family members, you preach too hellfire and brimstone. You preach too negative. And it makes me chuckle because, you know, any sermon that any preacher preaches has some negativity to it. If I preach on heaven, it's still negative, because what can we infer? There's a hell. Once again, sometimes we just need to get up and do the Lord's will. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian and your mindset hasn't been where it needs to be. You can get it right this morning. God wants you to. God is pleading with you. Whatever the case may be, please come as we stand and sing together.